Today I want to do two things. Number one, I want to finish up a few short more ideas relating to Bris Mila, just two, three more things, and then I want to mention, to go over with you a very short idea from Rabbi Toledano, Sefer Mital HaShemayim, that relates to this week's parasha, that relates to the Inyan of Tefillah. Just a short yisoid about Tefillah from this week's parasha. Okay, number one, let's go back to Bris Mila. Bris Mila, there is something very interesting that we say, we don't hear this. The only one that says this is the Moel. When the moel brings the baby into a bris mila, let me find the bris mila. Shachris l'chol animamin birchas hamazon, and here we have the bris mila. Okay, the bris begins. Zaki say shel el yohana v'zochal atayif lishu ascha kivisi Hashem sibarti lishu ascha Hashem umitzvesech asisi. Eliyahu, Malach Avris, Hinei, Shalcho Lefonecha. Right? You ever hear this? These are beautiful words. The Mal Eliyahu, the Bris, Hinei, Shalcho, what is yours is before you. Amoid, Al Yemini, V'samcheini. Stand by my right side and support me. Okay, what time is Mincha?
12:06 to 12:11, depending on
mine. We cheat
the
Yahoo. 12:11?
Yeah.
So you want that mincha afterwards?
Yes.
If we have enough people, we'll daven.
Okay.
Absolutely.
If we're still here, if I don't finish before that.
Right, so what is that the incentive to do?
What?
So for you, what kind of incentive is that? Do you want to stay here or do you want to finish quick?
How much do you want?
Okay, we'll see.
$100.
Amoid al yemini v'samcheini. Stand on my right side, v'samcheini. This is a very interesting expression. Then he goes on, he says, repeats himself. Sibarti lishuas Hashem, I yearn for your salvation. Sas nechalim al imra sech, mozi shalom shalom rav leves, or sech ve'ilam, michshol ashrei, tivchar usekodev, yishkoin chat serech. Different psukim. But what is very unique, the only, to the best of my knowledge, the only place you have this expression is twice. Can anyone tell me the other time when you have this? Amoid al yemini, stand by my right side. Where do you say this?
Friday night.
What?
No, when you say
after
the Shalom Aleichem,
there's a long...
Oh,
no,
yeah?
It's not on there.
No, it's not there?
Amod al-Yemini?
No. I say it every
time. Amod al-Yemini, the only place, to the best of my knowledge, is the Rishus of the Chosan Torah.
Is Amod al-Yemini?
Yeah. Amod al yemini. If you have a machzir, if we have to find that, it's not so easy to find a rishus, the machzir for a sukkis. Amod al yemini. Maybe it's either by the chosin Torah or the chosin Bereshis, where you actually say to him, come and stand here. The gab, who's the one that's saying the rishus? The gabai. The gabai stands, come, amod al yemini. Some, in fact, want to use this as a proof that the gabai should be standing on the left side of the bima. We want to discuss, go to a shul, some shuls, what do? Does the gabai sit on the right side or the left side? Most shuls that I've seen, the gabai is on the left side. Right, facing the Aron Kodesh, the gabai stands on the left side. What do you do in your shuls?
The right side.
On the right side?
No.
Okay, it varies. Okay.
The one that says,
Yeah, Moed, and the one that makes the Mishpah, the one that calls up the Aliyahs.
My shul's down on the right side.
On the right side?
Yeah.
Impose them. What are they doing on the
right side?
Right side?
I see them doing it on the right side.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, the Yonguzov Avenue J, they were famous doing it on the right side. They did it? No, it's not totally national and smart. That's Young Israel. Young Israel, why they do it on the right side? I have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe because it was closer to the ladies' section, so the ladies could hear. I'm not joking. That's probably why it was. It was close to the ladies' section. It wasn't with any halachic consideration. I think Rav David Cohen should also do it on the right side. Rav David Cohen should, if not mistaken, the gabbai stands on... On maybe I think on the right side. I'm pretty sure it's on the right side. No difference. Everywhere else where I've davened, Chaim Berlin, they stay on the left side. In the Ruach HaTorah, they stay on the left side. In Or Yitzchak, they stay on the left side. Let me think. In Rishur Shul, they stay on the left side. All the shuls in Frankel's, they stand on the left side. All the shuls that I think about, they all stand on the left side. Ruba de Ruba. But so, So, but the Gabbai, when you read the Rishus says Amoid, he tells, he instructs the one who getting the Aliyah, the Chassan Torah, Amoid Al Yimini. The one that gets the Aliyah, where is he standing? The one that gets the Aliyah, what are you doing with Flapish? He's standing on the right side?
Yeah,
the right side. Facing the Aron
Kodesh. The second Gabbai, and he stands to the left.
On the left.
Once I saw the other way.
It's the Gabbai who's been called up.
So the one that calls up is on the right side, the young Israel Flapush.
Right, and Rabbi Alman stands to the left, and he's the listener.
Rabbi Alman is the Gabbai Sheni? That's very interesting. Most Rabbanim will not be the Gabbai Sheni for one very simple reason. They have to think about their drasha during Kriyas HaTorah. They have to.
For decorum, because we'll stand in and hold about.
I fully understand. It's very interesting. Also, you also. It's also to listen, to correct the Balkari. Very, very rarely. To make quiet, but also is it good to have someone very good to listen to the lady to make to catch the mistakes? Because if you don't have someone very good, right? So you don't have someone to catch on the mistakes, then you're gonna then a lot of things can. What?
In this shul, the
Gabbai
is always on the left.
So you see, it's not a Young Israel thing. Machlokes between Young Israel of Midwood and the Young Israel of Flapush. Okay, every shul is different.
He's
on the right side. Oh, so he's saying he's on the right side. The Gabbai Sheni is a very minor. It doesn't have it's very little significance. The Gabbai Sheni, the Ikra, you don't need a Gabbai Sheni. There's no makar for Gabbai. You don't need anyone there. You only need to be with three people. The one that calls up, the one that lanes, and the one that gets the Aliyah. You don't need a Gabbai Sheni. You don't need. And even the one that gets the Aliyah, when he finishes Aliyah, Me'ikra'adin, he can go. The minig is that he sticks around. He sticks around to watch the game. He sticks around. So it gets very crowded because he stays around, and you have the Gabbai Sheni. So it gets a little crowded there, you know? It gets a little crowded in the Bima of the Gabbai Rishon, the Gabbai Sheni. Then there's the Machas that are coming around and trying to tell everyone who to give the Aliyah to. So it gets quite crowded. But the point I want to make over here is that on Simchas Torah, if the Gabbai is standing in his position and he's saying Amoid al Yimini, stand on my right side, so that he's telling the one that's getting the Aliyah is going to stand in the center. That's a given, right? The one that's getting the Aliyah is standing in the center. So what are you telling him? So the Gabbai is reading the Rishus. The one that's supposed to be reading the Rishus is the Gabbai. Is the Amoid is the Gabbai. And if he's standing on the left side, then it makes perfect sense for him to say Amod al Yimini. But if the Gabbai is standing on the right side, if the Gabbai is on the right side and he says Amod al Yimini, it doesn't make sense. What are you telling him to stand on Yimini? So this is an indication that the proper location for the Gabbai should be the left side. Okay, that's a very, very interesting idea. Now the only other place where you have this nosuch is very interesting is by Bris Mila. By Bris Mila, you know, it's not so common you can hear the Moyel actually say these words, because everyone is busy having a conversation, catching up with a friend they haven't seen in 10 years. But the Moyel says Eliyoy Malach Habris Hine Shalachol Lefonecha Amod Al Yimini, stand Al Yimini on my right side, this Samcheni, and support me.
So how do you know he's standing on the right side? Maybe he's on the left.
So that means where is now? First,
we don't see him anyway. Right?
We don't see him anyway. So that means when you have the two chairs that are next to each other, and let's assume that you're facing the center of the shul. So that we learned yesterday there are two places to do the bris mila tzafin. Let's assume we're doing it on the tzafin. So picture a shul and picture the bima is in the middle. And picture the left side of the bima. This is very common. Many shuls they usually do on the left side. Which way they face is another question. But let's make believe they're on the left side. That's very common. The bris mila will take place on the left side of the shul, which typically is tzafin. And let's assume that they're facing the center. They're facing the bima. The bris mila is taking place where the person sitting down on the chair is
don't you turn around, Rabbi? This is the dude right there.
No, I'm going to get too confused turning around. Why turn this way? Okay, but where this would indicate where the Kisei Shel Eliyahu is and where the Moil stands. If the Moil is, whichever direction the Moil is facing, you want to have Eliyahu to be on the right side, which would mean that this is something which I don't think is done like this. Maybe I'm making a mistake, is that the Kisei Shel Eliyahu is closer towards the Aron HaKodesh. The Kisei Shel Eliyahu HaNavi is towards the Aron HaKodesh. And then the one that's a little bit further back is the kisei of the sandik, where the sandik sits. So then when the moil is facing the baby is facing the center, and the moil is facing the baby, and he says to Leo, you stand al yamini, basically you stand right in front of your chair. Alright, it's not a rabbi because you can be mafalpal back and forth, or what exactly this means, just because the Leo Navi's...
The only thing you can prove of this is that the moil can't be left.
So that's what I'm coming to. Whoever says, okay, here's the point, whoever says when it says here al yamini, if you're looking at a machs, we have a machs, you're looking for a machs still, for so go look online on your computer. Look for a further the Rishus, the Nusach of the Rishus for Simchas Torah. So the only other interpretation, you have to ask Rabbeinu Google. Rabbeinu Google has all the answers. So the question here is, whoever says Amod al Yamini here in this context means stand by my side. On Simchas Torah, when you say stand on my side, you're dealing with human beings. Human beings mean, you know, I stand here and you stand there. Don't squash me. Don't squish me. Don't get too close. Don't get too close. But by a bris mila, when you're asking Eliyahu, you're not al yamini, doesn't mean by my side. It means support me. Support, amod, stand with my, al here means with my right hand. You, Eliyahu HaNavi, should guide my hand, that I should do the bris mila in an oifan mehuda, in a way that is proper. Now, if that's the pshat, which Rav David Cohen seems to say is the ikar pshat, amod al yamini means stand with, al means with my right hand, guide my hand. Guide my hand as I do the bris mila. He leaves the tzarchin gadol. What happens if the moil is a lefty? So look at that. You have a moil that's a lefty. Every bris mila, he says, on which hand does the moil do the bris mila with? His left hand. His left, because the left hand is the right hand. So then he should say, "Amod."
Spiritual
guidance. So then you want to say, when it says yamini doesn't mean small didek yamin da alma. It's not a real right. It means my virtual right. You're pushing. You know, you're playing a lot of games. So you're really stretching translations. It would be very simple just
that's
to say.
What we do.
Okay, we have no choice. That's why. We do it because we have no choice. But maybe. Okay, wait, fine. But that, okay, these are just issues. He doesn't reach a conclusion. He just brings out the point, brings out this issue. It's just very interesting. We don't pay attention twice in our liturgy, at least today, in modern times. Years ago, who knows what they said? There are a lot of different piyutim, different nuschos. But in our liturgy, we have twice this expression, al-mod, al-yamine, on Simchas Torah, and at a bris mila, and this simple, innocent little statement is now becomes a very controversial thing for us. Simchas Torah, that seems to indicate the proper place for the gabbai is the left side. By a bris mila, it seems to indicate that the moil should be a righty. A moil is a righty. When it's not a righty, then you're asking a question, then should you change the nusach? Should you not change the nusach? Does maybe al-yamini mean stand, al-yamini doesn't mean my right hand, it means al-yamini means on my right side. And that would have a consequence of where exactly the moil should stand relative to the Kisei Shel Eliyahu. Because the Chayro, we assume that the Kisei Shel Eliyahu is not going to move far from the Kisei Shel Eliyahu to the time of the Bris Mila. These have consequence in how the furniture should be arranged in when the Bris Mila is done. And a lot of these things we're totally not makbidan. You go to Bris Mila, I don't know, I think the Moil, it's up to them. No one interferes. You never saw someone interfere with a Moil and tell them, well, I insist, I want a chair. This is where we're going to put the chair. You give the moil, you give free rein, you let the moil do whatever he wants to do and how he does the bris mila. You don't see Rabbanim telling moilim to do things their way. You let the moil do. Okay, let's go to another thing. We have a very nusach when you say the bracha. Yismach ha'abi yotze chalatza v'sagel ima b'frivet. Now, since when do you start talking about the parents at a bris mila? What the bris is about is about is about the baby. It's a mitzvah to the father. Since when do you mix in emotion? Yismach ima. So Rav David Cohen says it all comes from the Medrash. The Medrash tells why. One of the reasons why the bris milah takes place on the eighth day, it's a very important Medrash which is overlooked, is because at the time of Chazal, a woman was only in need for 7 days. That was it. A woman is in need of 7 days today with all the chumras. There's all these hefsek tyra, and there's delays and more delays and more delays and more complications. So it's not okay anyway. Halachah l'maaseh b'zman hazeh, but mikar hadin, a woman who is a yoledesh is a nida. And how? When is her tara? She becomes mutar l'bala on day 8. And Chazal tell us that's the reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu said you should wait 8 days for the bris milah. You don't make a celebration where everyone is happy and the parents are sad. The parents are not able to be with each other. They have to be parish because she's a nida. So it's not proper to make a simcha in the matz of atzevus of sadness. So therefore, wait until the wife is no longer a nida, at least min ha-Torah. So you see, the Torah was makbid on the simcha of the husband and wife. Chazal took that as a sign that when we codified the nusach habracha, make mention of the simcha of the mother and the father. Yismach of the yotzech alas of a saga liber for nina, allude to the simcha they have now at this moment in time as well. There was such a minig, I never heard. The mother was a sandik?
Because the baby was most comfortable.
Okay, Kirby, it's very interesting. That's interesting. First of all, who says the sandik has to be the one we mentioned about with an adult? We discussed this. The sandik has to be the one who's holding the baby. The sandik is the one who holds the baby. As we mentioned, an adult. An adult, a Baal Tshuva or a Ger, has a bris milah. Who's the sandik? When you think an adult, a 30-year-old man is sitting on someone's lap? And a bris milah, it doesn't go like that. Holding, right, the sandik, muhammad sandikois, yimachabit, a rabbit sandikois, he holds the hand of the adult who is undergoing bris milah, and some hold that he doesn't hold his hand, he puts his hand on his heads. Yeah, that's called sandikos, and it comes from the Medrash. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the sandik of Avraham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ochaz yaday. At the time when Avraham did the bris milah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he held his hand. Okay, let's go. Who's the moil? That's another question. Was shame the not?
Whoever he held the moil's hand.
Uchor Aaron was not his own moil. Maybe there is such an opinion. It was either shame ben Noach. It was Mamre. Mamre, or it was a snake, the Akrof.
If they weren't Bali Mila, how could they be a Maya?
They were not Bali Mila.
They weren't Mechuyev.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer. It's a good question. Right? Well, they were Mechuyev yet.
No, that day they could.
So saying they're not Mechuyev. They were Mechuyev. No, they're not responsible. The Mishnah time. When do they add the extra time to the Nida period? Much no later. In the time of the Gemara, no, even later. It's much later. It's the time of the Gemara. Even later in the Gemara. Later in the Gemara, even.
But in the introduction to
Masechta Nida, has all the whole shalshelas. Right. It's much later. It's relatively speaking, much later. At least, maybe even the time I'm even Goyim, all the chumras of Nida. When do they become part of a halacha? All the things in Shulchan Aruch, probably time of the Rishonim already. I don't know. Okay, let's go to another quick thing about the brachas. We say kashem shnichnas the bris can yikonis l'toira ulechupa ulemasim toivim. What does it mean toira chupa and what does it mean toira? Rav David Cohen brings down two makaros from the Machzor Vitri. That's Rashi wrote Machzor Vitri, and from the Yam Shel Shlomo. Kashem shnichnas the bris can yikonis l'toira. What's the toira? So I don't remember who says what. One says toira means When he enters into the time of learning Torah, which is 5 years old, 5 years old in Chamesh Lemikra, then Eser Lemishnah, and 15 years old Le Talmud. It means 5 years old. When they take the kid, they wrap up in the talus, and they have lick the honey and do the whole ceremony. That's what it means. Can you connect Le Torah Ulchup Ulmasam? And the proof to this is the Machzor. I think it's the Machzor says because there used to be a minog that when the child, they were machnis a child, the Torah today became popular once again. When I was a child, there was no ceremony. Okay, we went to first grade. We learned Chumash. We learned Mishnah Gemara. big deal. There was no Hascholas HaGemara. There was no Siddur party. There was no Chumash party. They didn't have any of this stuff. Today, Baruch Hashem, there's a Siddur party. There's a Chumash party. And there's the day when they start learning Gemara. There's a big Suda. And all the Rashivas have to come to the Suda when you start Yom HaSchol's Talmud. And then, what? For your grandchildren, right?
I was there.
You were shamed into coming. The grandparents were forced to come. Now it's also a fundraising event. It's a donation. It's a fundraising event with envelopes and letters and kibudim. Right, today everything is a business. Very good. Okay, it's very nice. People go to this. They come away. You know, it's very innocent. No, you can't. What can you complain about? Okay, this is really an old thing. This thing called Yom HaChol. The Yom, when the child is brought for the first time to learn Torah, is taught toward the Cheder, it appears from the Machzor of Vitri that it was a ceremony, and they even gave bracha. So what was the bracha? Kishem shenichnas l'Torah, ken yikanes l'chuba ulamasim tovim. Next step, very good. Everything is going according to plan. You got to the bris, and now we're up to stage two. So from that, you clearly see that at the bris, when you said Kishem Shenichnas L'Torah was to learn Torah. The 5-year-old kid wrapped up in a talus eating honey off the olive base. That's what it means, Nichnas L'Torah. That's what, if I'm not mistaken, the Yam Shel Shlomo says. And I remember the Machzor Vitri was solid proof, ironclad proof from the Nusach, from the ancient Machzorim, that the bracha you give a child when he learns Torah. However, the Yam Shel Shlomo says not what it means. It's very important. Now you go to, you give the brach. What's the kavana? It means bar mitzvah. Kishem shnichnas kenyos l'Torah. Torah means the chiv mitzvahs of the Torah, not the Talmud, the learning of the Torah of a child. It means the obligations, just like the milah is a chayv, it's a din d'oraisa. So too, when is a person chayv in Torah, in the mitzvahs of the Torah? What? Torah is a catch-all phrase. It means what? Mitzvah Torah means bar mitzvah. You should be zoicha, you should be a good bar mitzvah boy. By the time he gets bar mitzvah, everything should be go according to the plan for the next 13 years. There is a chiv, there's chinuch. But what is the pshuta shel mikra? When you say the bracha, what should you have kavana? Kashem shnitzel, b'kenny kanis the Torah means you should be in 13 years from now, everything should be good and well, you should be healthy and happy, and the family should be healthy and happy, and everything should be fine. He should have a good bar mitzvah, and also l'chuppah. The next stage of life is l'chuppah, and then his l'mazan should be an askan. He should be on the cover of the flower shoot. He should be masim tayim, do good deeds. Even if you don't do good deeds, just don't be on the cover of the daily news. You don't have to be on the cover of the FJJ. Oh, just yeah. Don't find yourself on the cover of that stuff. What?
Why masim tayim? Not before
Chuppah. Why is the Ma'asim Tovim not before Chuppah? Okay, so you have a good answer?
Yeah. 15,
16. So what then does it mean Ma'asim? Very good. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I was going to say this, it's not from Dovakor. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says Ma'asim Tovim means children. Chazal say Ezer Ma'asafersh Chazal. What does it mean? I forgot the exact words of Chazal. What are a person's good deeds? The ultimate good deed? He has good children. Because a child is not just, you know, you write a check. To raise a child requires, it's a whole life, lots of life work. To properly raise a child, it's the ultimate ma'asim tovim you can possibly do. So this answers your question. You don't want someone having a child before he gets married. That's not a good idea. Right? That's not a good idea. It's a shame someone said that he went to an emergency wedding. He told me that Rav Palm was Masad the Kedush, what is an emergency wedding? It's a big secret. The cow is pregnant. An emergency what? I don't know. I think that now I remember. Okay, he told me this person's a very big joker, and he was very close to Rav Palm. Rav Palm was to give a shir. Rav Palm called him up and told me he can't come to the shir, and the Palm never ever scheduled the wedding on the night when he gave a shir. He wanted Rav Palm to be Masad the Kedush by your wedding. Rav Palm, the wedding cannot be the certain day of the week when he gave a shir and it was sacred. And so you want him to be Masad the Kedush, so you have to know in advance. You don't make a wedding that night. So all of a sudden happened one day, Rav Palm, he canceled the shir. He's going to a wedding. So Rav Palm apologized. He says it's an emergency wedding. So the person is a very big joke, a very big late.
Elliot?
What?
Elliot?
I don't want to say it. So he said, what does it mean an emergency wedding? What in my vocabulary an emergency wedding means? But that's not what Rav Pan meant to have in mind. Okay. So but it's a very beautiful idea. Kashem shnichnas libris. Can you call this the Torah? Bar mitzvah. Ulechopa. And he should be zoicha the shalshelis hadoros to have good children. Okay, that's what Rav Chaim Kinevsky says. Libris, Litoiro, Ulchopa, and he should have a Zel Maisim Toivim Shalodam. It's a Chazal somewhere. It's the Bonov, Ubnois of Shalodam, Zehu Maisim Toivim, Zehu Maisim Toivim Shalodam. Okay, let's go to another quick idea. This is Rav David called this a beautiful Achidish in the Harachamans. In the Rachamans at the Birchas HaMazon, if you stay that long for the Bris Mila, you say, this nusach of Malamol. Let me see if I could find the Rachman. You should send us the Kohen Tzedek. No, it's not that one. Here it is. It's the second Harachman. Harachman who yivarech baal bris hamila. Okay, you have all the different brachas. You give a bracha to the yet, to the father. You give a bracha to the moyel. You give a bracha to the sandik and the baby. All these are very beautiful Harachmans. And the second one is Harachman yivarech baal bris hamila. The baal bris hamila is the sandik. Asher sas laso sedek the gila. The yeshale. I believe it is. No, that's the first bracha. The first bracha. Rachman yivarech avi hayeled v'imay. Okay, so if I'm not mistaken, it's the sandik. And in fact, it says in the siddur, it says yichabdu ish zula sasandik lema piskazu. So you want to breast the sandik, you don't want to breast yourself. So it's the sandik. Asher sos la'asoy tzedek begila v'shalim po'oloi u'maskutoi kiful Hashem should pay him back double for what he deserves. The yitneu Hashem should elevate him l'malo l'mola. Hashem should elevate him l'malo l'mola. Where does this come from, this nusach l'malo l'mola? So he's David Cohen, he says an amazing chiddush. This is unbelievable. Not for him. Who'd ever think of this? Okay. In the Toicha, right? Dvarim, give me a half a second. Dvarim, Perik, Chof, Ches, Pasik, Mem, Gimel. In the Toicha of Parshas Ki Savo, it talks about the Ger. It's part of the Toicha. This is not good.
Toicha. That's the brachas, part of the brachas.
Okay, all the whole Toicha really brachas hidden in disguise. Perik, Chof, Ches, Pasik, Mem, Gimel. So one page. I'm only one page away. Okay, here we are. Perek Mem Yisa. What did I say? Mem Gimel. Hager. Asher Bekir Becha. Part of the Taicha. The Ger. Now, who's the Ger, by the way? The Ger means, doesn't mean the Ger Tzedek. That's for sure not, because he's one of us. And it doesn't mean the Ger Toishav either. In this context, the Ger means a stranger. Okay, ger in the Torah is used many different ways. Sometimes, most of the time, it's referring to a ger toishav, a non-Jew who observes the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Sometimes it means a ger tzedek, a convert. And sometimes a ger can mean just a foreigner. It can mean anyone, a non-Jew who does not observe it. Hager asher b'kibecha ya'aleh olecha will elevate himself upon you, malomolo, v'ato sered matamot, and you will descend matamota. So obviously, we what does the word ger mean? So let me first see Rashi. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Okay, mem beis, mem gimel, there's no Rashi, but there's a Targum Unkelus. And the Targum Unkelus says, what's the word ger? Who's the ger? The ger, he says, tosaf orel. The uncircumcised one. That's the way the Targum translates the word ger. The one who is not circumcised, which basically it's a derogatory term for a guy, a non-Jew who is not observant of the mitzvahs. I mean, even a Jew who observes a Shema mitzvah noach also may doesn't have a bris milah, but seemingly when he uses the word orel, he means to say a real guy, a guy that doesn't observe, and he calls him an orel. The orel, what? What?
Goliath, like Goliath.
Goliath. Any guy that does not observe the Sheva Mitzvah Noach, that's how he types the word Hager. Orel, So Rav David Cohen says that's why we Bedavka chose this pasuk, because this is one of the only, if maybe, I don't know targum at all, but it appears this is a very rare targum where the targum uses the word oral. You take out a computer and check targum, do a search, how often does the targum use the word oral? It appears to be extremely rare, and here is one of the only instances. And what is the Toicha saying? He's going to be l'mal l'mala. So now that we have done a bris mila has taken place. So whenever it's the opposite of the bris mila, so now the brachas, the klolas, the sapik lebracha, instead of the goy, the orel being l'mala mala, you now who have gone from a matzah of being not an orel, the sandik who has facilitated the transformation of being a non-orel, an orel to a non-orel, memela yemahapech the klolo libracha, from the ger being l'mala mala to you l'mala mala. Unbelievable shot that takes the nusach of the bracha and totally opens up a whole new understanding. Okay, another quick thing is aleinu l'shabeach. Why do we recite aleinu l'shabeach at the end of a bris mila? What's this all about? So it's not such a difficult question. We say aleinu at the end of kiddush levana. We say aleinu at the end of every type of
when you go home.
Oh, so when you go home, that's when you leave the Beis HaKnesses. But that's not so similar. Is the bris mila really tied into the Nusach HaTzvila? All right, it's like you don't say Aleinu. Everyone knows on Yom Kippur
because you don't come
because it used to be they didn't go home, so you don't come, so you're in shul the whole day, so you don't say Aleinu on Yom Kippur. You only say Aleinu when you leave the Beis HaKnesses. So here you seemingly you come to the bris mila took place in the Beis HaKnesses. It was a standalone ceremony, and now we're leaving the Beis HaKnesses, so we say Aleinu. What about So Pinyin HaBen is part of a suit. The Pinyin HaBen is not a ceremony that takes place in the Beis HaKnesses. The Pinyin HaBen is a ceremony that takes place in the middle of a meal. You have a meal, and in the middle of the meal, you do the ceremony. You have a hakpada bedavka to wash first. You wash, and then you do the Pinyin HaBen. So, but this is a ceremony. All right, but he says there's a lot deeper than that. Amalek was the one that we find in Tanakh who was the most against bris mila. The essence of bris mila is to a person discipline, is to control your tivus. The essence of bris mila is the person should recognize that it's within his control to discipline himself. Amalek is, no. The world is a world of hefkeris. A person should strive to enjoy himself to the extreme. The Rambam is famous as saying that one of the reasons why we do a bris mila is the bris mila reduces physically the pleasure a person has in marital relations. I don't know what scientists say about that today. Is there such a thing as such a scientific fact to this? I do not know. And therefore, a bris mila is done in order for a person to be a poyresh, to be a kaddish. A person is telling the person, you're here in this world, you're not here in this world to enjoy yourself. Of course, there are times you should have pleasure in this world, but this is a symbol that you're here to discipline and to work on yourself and to only enjoy yourself within a framework of Kedusha and Halacha. This idea is the antithesis of everything that Amalek stands for. Amalek stands for you're in this world for nothing but the ultimate pleasure. Asher Korcha Badech, what do Chazal say? What did Amalek do? They cut off the bris mila, and they made litzanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They cut off either their own bris milas, they cut off other people's bris milas, and they threw it into the sky, and they said, Ribbono Shel Olam, this is what you want? Here, you could have it. They made litzanis. This was considered in Chazal to be the ultimate litzanis. Amalek is the worst enemy of Klal Yisrael, and the way they show their hate and their litzanis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the bris mila. The whole essence of Aleinu L'Shabeach is the destruction of Ahoy Hashem L'Melech Banachnu Korim Meshtach Nufnei Melech Malach Melech Malach Baruch Hu. He is the creator, and the goal, the Alkein Kavul Hashem L'Kein Liros B'Sifaris Secha is to wipe out Amalek. For Ahoy Hashem L'Melech Al Kol Aretz Bayom Ahu Yehiyah Hashem Echad Shmo Echad Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name will be complete until the point in time HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name Mulchama L'Hashem Amalek Midardar Ki Yod Al Keiska. As long as Amalek exists in this world, Hashem's name is incomplete. It's only Yud Kei Hashem's name, whatever this means. These are Kabbalistic ideas, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as there exists in this world the nation of Amalek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. The whole essence of Aleinu is a bakash, a yearning for Yimos HaMashiach, the eradication of Amalek. That's why we say after Aleinu, those who say those three psukim, those three psukim are psukim that are specifically explained by Chazal in reference to Amalek, the obliteration of Amalek. Aleinu's crescendo is the obliteration of Amalek and the shleimus of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why it so perfectly fits into the ceremony of Bris Milah. Even if you could take away all the other reasons, you'll say Aleinu is a nice, you know, it's a package deal. You have a wrapper. When you do a mitzvah, it has to come in a package. It has to be a package. It starts with an ashrei and it ends with an Aleinu. Put all those ideas aside. Even if you wouldn't have all the packaging, just the fact that you have this theme of Aleinu represents Amalek, it fits perfectly into the theme of Bris Milah like a glove, and that is why we merge the two together. This is the idea from, I think this concludes everything I want to tell you. I will stop with this. Okay, you want to daven mincha? Anyone want to daven mincha?
Yeah.